Radio.
Good morning, everybody.
Are you guys hangry? You know what hangry is? Hangry is when you're all angry because you ain't got no food. I just learned that this morning. I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah, make sure you eat your breakfast and
get those Wheaties, kids. Get those Wheaties. All right, welcome to Weezday Wednesday, everybody. What is today? July 3rd?
July 3rd, the day right
before our Independence Day.
That's right, 1776. Seems like just yesterday.
And Arizona is getting quite independent with our 29 dispensaries.
Fully 29 dispensaries.
That's awesome.
Who do we think we are?
I know. Pretty freaking cool.
This is a little, you know, I'm thinking, Tumbleweed is kind of like an Oaksterdam of...
You know, other things that we could be proud of is DOMA just got, you know.
Go Gays. Well, welcome to Weezday Wednesday, where we talk about everything and cannabis.
Everything and cannabis.
Oh, hello, bloggers, everybody out there. We have a special good morning to Grand Island, New York, and the Zygmunt. Good morning,
Wake up.
Oh, they're way
old. Oh, yeah, you guys have been
up
a while.
Well, those are sleeper inners. We'll see. See if they're on the air here this morning. We have a really fun show this morning. We have got, ready? Oh, I need a drum roll. The King of Pop is on. All the way from Boston, he's calling in.
Boston.
We apologize. We got him up super early. Time mistake. Anyway, he's up. He's had his Wheaties, we hope, and a little Java, maybe some chamomile.
Chamomile.
There you go. Oh, don't be all stealing that. Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar.
And the Cannabis Kid.
Woo-hoo! We've got some patients in here today that are woohooing in the background. Anita. We'll have interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona.
And world
at large. Call 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and email from there. You can catch the show from there.
Facebook, find us.
What's that?
Find us on Facebook.
Oh, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, MySpace. We're all over the internet. Probably not Craigslist. We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show this morning. At Tumbleweed, you'll find certifications for $99. Get certified folks, lectures, demonstrations, classes, medication, and all things education related to medical cannabis. TumbleweedHealthCenter.com. Let's throw out a little thank you to Grower's House at 227 East Valencia. If you live in the Tucson area or shop for hydroponics online, check them out. Great group. You know, hydroponics for tomatoes and strawberries and things.
Right.
You know, when you need it for your ganja, they're there for you.
Uh-huh.
Grower's House offers free classes, one-on-one help with grow rooms, and a price match guarantee, not to mention they are experienced and will help you get started and succeeding in all your growing endeavors if you live 25 miles outside of a dispensary.
That's how I feel.
And you want to open one of those dispensaries, please go get your meds tested.
Yes, very important.
azmedtest.com. AZ Med Testing offers medical marijuana testing in Arizona to ensure medicine is safe and effective in treating patients. Through scientific methodology, they extract the cannabinoid percentages and from the medicine, and they provide analytical reporting for each cannabinoid characteristic. So it's really cool. They give you a little chart of what THC, CBD, CBN levels are.
And when you start learning about cannabinoids and what you start to see, you're going to want to have those higher percentages of those cannabinoids in your medicine. So it's just kind of like... You're your own pharmacist. You're your own physician. You're looking at the different cannabinoids that work for you, and you're putting them towards your use. So,
excellent.
We've got Mary Jane's Survival Guide. Medical Marijuana Patient Guide for anyone seeking medical cannabis information in the state of Arizona. Recipes, pictures, articles, clinics, clubs, and more. MaryJaneSurvivalGuide.com.
Yeah, you'll find some of Weed Cell Center in there, actually. Mm-hmm. Our radio shows listed in there, our certifications listed in there, and I'm not sure if the medication.
Quite a lot of information in Mary Jane Survival Guide.
Tons of information.
One of my favorites is their recipes.
Yes.
They've got some great things. If you're learning how to cook with cannabis, Cooking with cannabis. It's a really great book to maybe even start off because the recipes aren't too intense. They're very.
Very simple. And you can use organic ingredients to get the cleanest, bestest for you. And there's also a really cool patient journal right in the middle of it. I think it opens up dead center to a couple of pages that you can keep track of all your medicine, where you got it, what you got, if it was an edible, if it was
your
a tincture. Yeah, it's a little can of journal.
How you felt that day.
Yeah.
And what muscles it did help.
Yeah, your medicine helped you. If it didn't help you, because sometimes it makes things worse. You know, you never know. You got to find the right strain for your game.
Yep.
Woo-hoo. All right. Well, we have got, well, let's just see here. Hopefully, looks like we have somebody waiting on the line to chat with us.
Oh, great.
And we'll see if it's the King of Pot, and we'll just find out why, how he became a king. So let's see. Hello.
Good morning. Pot.
Hello.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I've been up for about 3 hours, but that's okay.
sorry about that.
You got me up early. I don't usually get up this early because I do a lot of my work late at night. So, you know, I don't get up till like about 11.
Well, see, that had you checked our website, you would have known that would have been perfect. We've all been waking up together.
Yeah.
Instead, you're all like copied out already.
Well, I want to thank you guys for having me on, and I just discovered your show through the social networks, and thank you for having me on. Where are you guys broadcasting from?
We are in Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson, Arizona. Nice. I've been out that way a few times, but not. I didn't stay in the city. Just passing by.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, it's a lively little city.
It is. It's really hot right now. We're getting into about like 110. It's supposed to be high as 104 today. So.
Yeah, kind of crazy. Kind of crazy.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
Well, I was going to say, how's our founding forefather city of Boston? You guys are getting ready to celebrate it for 4th of July.
It's getting ready to celebrate, but unfortunately, we got a big police presence, you know, because of what happened with the marathon bombings back in April. So, you know, it's going to be cracking down pretty heavy over here. They've got a lot of signs up saying anybody caught with fireworks or any kind of, like, explosive material is going to be arrested on the spot. So, pretty crazy. Yeah, we're the founding fathers, but let me tell you, we're becoming like a 1984 over here ever since that happened.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's really
bad.
Yeah,
it can be tough.
Understandable for the people that, you know, were really, really initially affected by that. I mean, we all were.
I get what they're doing.
Yeah, I understand, but that's just like, crazy sad. This is not that country, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's not.
No, we had. We had military on the street. It was amazing when it did happen. But this is a weed show. We won't talk about that.
Right, we're
good. It is a weed show. Now, we're the military smoking weed. That's what we want to know.
Well, I'm smoking right now some nice blue cheese that my caregiver gave me, which is really, really good.
Blue cheese. Interesting.
Can you blow some of that through the speakers here? We're all really intrigued by that one.
I'm actually blowing it right into my studio microphone right now to you. So this is all.
All right.
There it is.
Woo! Got it.
Mellow radio.
That's right. Yeah. Mellow radio. Thank God not.
So, the King of Pot is some kind.
King of Pot, how'd you get started in doing radio?
And how are you, the King of Pot?
All right. Well, I sent you guys an article, but naturally your listeners don't know. So basically, I had followed an individual in Canada for a number of years before he was even known here in the United States, and that happens to be the Prince of Pot, Mark Emery. And I was following him for a while, and then when his internet got bigger, I was able to, you know, tap into his pot TV shows and things like that. And basically, I was like excited that there was somebody out there that was really pushing the boundaries, going out in front of state buildings and smoking up, having smoke festivals, having his own little festivals himself. And I thought it was amazing how he was just saying overgrow the government and all this. And then my mom, who's old school Italian, suffered from the same kind of nervous condition that I have suffered with, that marijuana does take care of for me. Unfortunately, with my mother, she was too afraid to try it and kept on doing prescription medication. And I started to learn more and more about it, and I said, you know, I want to talk more about this. I want to be involved a lot more. I had a job where I could actually do this without forfeiting my job, without that they found out they won't fire me because I'm doing marijuana activism. So I decided to come out with a moniker, and I'm a friend of mine who's my best friend picked the King of Pot. So I started going out talking about it. My mom started getting worried that I was doing all this, but I started using pot even more medically, the marijuana, during that time, and started to see that a lot of my ailments didn't need to have the prescription medication that was knocking me on my ass. And while I was watching my mother using the same prescription medication, it was losing her quality of life. So I finally convinced her to smoke in 2005 as she saw me going around talking about marijuana and its benefits. And that first time she tried it, that first night, she actually had no symptoms, and my father could not believe that his wife was back to normal after 15 years of watching her going down. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but she had an illness called OCD. She would check the doors like 45 times, just stand there for hours and check the door. It's locked, but, you know, she had to make sure it was locked. So it was like a crazy illness, and it played with your head. And
wow,
they gave her tons of medication, tons and tons of medication. Well, she ended up passing away in 2005 from that medication. And we went into the home and found bags and bags of prescription medication that the doctors had given her. And I vowed that I was already out for 6 years doing this. I vowed I was going to get really in the face of the government, really in the face of the public, and let them learn that, you know, that this is not a toxic drug. This is something that can help. This can save lives. You know, it saved my life. Unfortunately, it didn't save my mother's life. But that's basically why I'm doing this. I don't make any money from it. It's all my free time and all my videos that I've been doing for 15 years and my radio shows. They're all done for free to the public. It's a public service that I want to do in honor of my mother's memory.
Yay. That's awesome.
Really sorry for the long rant, but that's I don't know how short I could have made it.
No, you can rant as much as you want. We love
to hear
you tell.
There are stories and stories like that.
Yeah, there's so many stories. In fact, my mom passed away on 14 medications, including a morphine pump they installed in her back. So she was just, you know, I don't know what your mom was on, but my mom, they had her whacked out, and that was it. That's why she passed away, was all that stuff. It was just too much for people, and, you know, they don't test medicines, you know, in combination with other medicines. So when you're on 14 different chemicals, who knows how it's affecting. You know, I'm so glad your mom tried pot before she passed and was able to have maybe a moment of peace in her life, and so was your father, was able to see some peace in her for just even a moment. It's the most important thing, you know?
Yes, and that actually got him off his butt. If you go to my website, thekingofpot.com, there's a lot of videos up there we've done for the past 15 years, and Daddy-O, he's a cod. He ended up coming out as an activist after that. He wanted to speak to the senior citizens. Long before Robert, the tuna guy there, Robert Plattstorn, was doing the senior thing, you know, trying to educate the seniors. My dad started doing it almost, 7 years ago. In fact, he was the first senior citizen to be smoked up at the Boston Freedom Rally in front of 50,000 people. And the whole Boston Common went nuts when I brought him up on stage. He did his little speech, and then we lit him up in front of everybody, and everybody went wild.
Oh, I bet. And so your father's still using it today?
Yes, he does. He doesn't use it every day, but he has pains in his legs, So, you know, if his legs are acting up, he'll smoke a joint the night before so he's all set for the next day.
Ah, there you go. So you've
yeah.
been doing this for many, many, many years. What's your hope in all of this?
I'm hoping before I die to see it completely legal. I mean, when I say legal, completely legal. No restrictions saying that you can't grow. You know, just completely legal. End of story. And I'd love to see that before I die.
Amen.
Yes. Well, being completely legal, I mean, we're seeing that in Washington and Colorado and slowly. Who do you think is maybe the next state that goes totally legalized?
Well, you know, I always say California. But,
yeah.
you know, a lot of my activists, friends that are more see, I'm more on the entertainment end of this, where I try to bring the education through the entertaining and the way I present myself. My other activist friends, including my brother Mike Hand, he's more into the political end, and he's thinking that we're going to be the next. Now, I don't know. I do know some inside information. There are people here with deep pockets, and they're talking to our governor, and it's looking like it's going to be in the ballot in 2016. But I think there's going to be another state by 2014. I would say California.
California.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I think Arizona's trying to get it on the ballot in 2014.
Wow.
But they want to, for Arizona, they want it to be 18 and older, and I'm not so sure how that's going to fly with the folks here.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, it is such a non-toxic drug. I mean, I remember when alcohol was 18. That's different. Alcohol at 18, I don't believe in. But marijuana, I don't know. I told my children when they were able, you know, when they knew about what was going on with me and all that, I was very open with them at an early age. Kept them out of school when Dare was there. So I told them they could smoke a joint with me when they turned 18. So on their 18th birthday, they did it. Believe it or not, they don't even use it at all today.
Wow. All right.
Well, we were talking in a previous show on, you know, if they're old enough to go to war and come back with PTSD.
And vote.
Then they're legal to use one medicine.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you there. 18 and over, I have no problems with, but I can see what you're saying,
yeah.
That the regular folks may find that a little, you know, the 121.
Regular folk.
The regular folk. There are a handful of them left out there.
the closed-minded ones, you know?
One point at a time. That's right.
Right.
We're going to open their minds.
Well, that's what I...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. I just said that's what I do. I try to open the mind one at a time. If 200 people, you know, look at me and laugh, you know, because of the way I look and the way I'm presenting myself... But if they listen and they get it because of the way I do it, then that's great. That's exactly what I'm there for.
And so how is it that you're presenting yourself out in the world these days?
Excuse me, you got cut up there. What was that question?
And how is it that you're presenting yourself in the world these days?
How is it? Very forthright, very out there. I've always been that way, but more so now. We've got Crim here in Massachusetts. We got decrim about two, three years ago, and now we also have medical. And our medical marijuana law, which was voted in by the citizens of Massachusetts, stated that we would be able to grow our own medicine and also be able to buy our own medicine from a dispensary. Once the law passed, they took away our growing rights. So the way I'm presenting myself today is I'm getting a lot more political and a little bit more away from the entertainment right now because it's affecting me in my own home state. So we've been protesting at the Department of Health in Boston. We've been presenting professional videos that are getting out in the social media sites and trying to rebut what these people are trying to do to our law.
And how is it that you're changing people's minds? What do you say to make and this is a gateway thing, and what do you say to that person that makes them go, oh, okay, maybe you're right? Tell us what you say to them.
There's really no antidote saying, you know, something to say to somebody to change their mind if they're totally on that subject, because I get that all the time. So basically, I listen to them and I ask them first, you know, why do you say this number one? Why do you think this number two? And then I break down those barriers by presenting, you know, proof. There's a lot of studies that have been done. So I'll educate them on certain studies, or I'll direct them to certain websites where they can get more information. That is not true, that five cigarettes, you know, one marijuana cigarette equals five cigarettes. I'll give them my own doctor's evaluation of myself, who's been smoking over 35 years, and my lungs are as clean as a baby. I have no bronchial problems that a person for 35 years that smoked tobacco would have. My doctor, who's a holy Catholic holy boy, he just can't believe it, because he believes the way the government and what they teach him in medical school.
Right, right.
So that's what I do. I get very personal, whatever I need to do to break down those barriers.
And for the internet savvy folks, where do you tell them to go? What websites are you sending to for this proof, these scientific facts? Because that seems to be the challenge, is people want to see the research
in
the
journals
data.
And the things we always keep on hearing.
I'll send them the normal sites. You know, they don't even know. A lot of them don't even know what normal is. They've never heard of it. I'll send them to. You got me on the spot on all the different sites there are, but there's the drug fact war, the drug rant war. There's a couple of blogs that I know about that I'll direct them to, and basically my website too, to show them what we do, and. There's so much information out there that some of the times I'll just say, type in, like somebody told me the other day, let me tell you what happened. They said, oh, driving in marijuana is worse than driving in alcohol. And I said, look, I don't know what the study is, but a study was done in the United Kingdom. Type in United Kingdom in Google, driving with marijuana. It'll come up. And they'll watch the video and they'll see the test that they've done that's not true. So I don't always can say a specific website. I'll tell them what to do or how to find it, because that's how I find my information and my facts. You know, not only that, the greatest book to read is Jack Harris' Emperor Lives No Clothes. I direct them to read that book, because that breaks down all the barriers too.
Awesome.
That is great.
And it's basically generic. You know, I don't mean to interrupt, but it's generic. Everybody that approaches me, I approach it in a different way, each and every time. It depends on the individual and the type of air I'm getting from that person. I've been doing this many years, so I just read them, and then I know what to say or what I got to do to convince them to at least get the information.
Now, why do you think it is? Someone made this comment the other day. One of our interviewees, I'm not sure which one, but they said it's really sad that it takes a catastrophe in someone's life, in some, you know, in one of the supposed political people or law enforcement, you know, or people of power, that they don't understand this until maybe their son gets affected or,
right,
you know,
a family member, a friend.
Why aren't they compassionate to start with? I mean, why aren't they seeing this as, you know, a useful, helpful plant that it is?
Because of what they're taught from an early age. What are they taught? I mean, look at the government studies that have come out. It's for those commercials, the marijuana commercials they used to have, and thank God those are off now. The anti-marijuana commercials. I mean, they were crazy.
Yeah,
you know,
were.
But that stays in people's mind. The egg on, you know, the frying egg in the frying pan.
Yeah.
This is your brain on drugs.
Yeah. There you go. You know, metaphors like that stays in people's brains, and every day people are getting up and they're just trying to make a living. They're coming home. They're taking care of their kids. They hear what the government says or what their newspaper says or what the news says that night on TV, and they believe it. You know, they don't have the time to search out the things that they could do to find and debunk most of this information. I had a job for a number of years that I was able to have that time to look up this stuff, even during work hours. Now I do this full time. You know, I'm unemployed as of 39 years of work. I'm unemployed as of January. So I'm building my production company now, and we're doing, you know, commercials and all kinds of stuff. And I'm tackling this now full time because I want to be immersed in this completely now. you know, this is the second part of my life, and I feel that I want to be there when the change happens, when everybody becomes legal.
Amen. And when do you think that's going to happen?
I'm not going to guess. So, I couldn't tell you. You know, like I said, I just hope it happens before I go away, you know?
Yeah, it will. It will. I think with as many states, there's a gentleman out there that is actually speaking to all the different states that have passed it, because I guess that once a certain amount of states say that this is actually medical use, unlike what the scheduling says, that they can actually reschedule it or recategorize it of sorts, but a majority has to do that. So there's someone actually going to the Supreme Court, where we might have them on our show in a few weeks, but they're challenging just that, that the majority of our states now are saying, yes, this does have medical use, and we do need to recategorize and reschedule it.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
and they were talking
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
they were talking about...
Go for
I think we're getting cut. I think we're getting cut off here. It's either you or I. Something's getting cut off. I'm losing the voice.
Well, continue what you were saying.
No, I just said go ahead.
All right.
Okay. So the DEA we were talking about last week is the one we actually have to go in and actually have them reschedule the drugs and actually start talking with them on all of these issues, the education issues, the educating the public, and that was the statement that I was going to give to that. So,
well, that's exactly what needs to be done. The scheduling needs to be moved. I mean, how can this be a Schedule I drug and cocaine be a Schedule II drug? I mean, that's absurd. You know,
yeah.
We've got to get it moved down in order for it to get to the point where, you know, you're able to fully have it legal. When I say fully legal, I'm saying just like you can plant tomatoes, you should
right.
be able to plant marijuana. End of story.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, and you know what? Honestly, I don't think enough people know about what is scheduled and how it's scheduled, because if Americans knew cocaine was Schedule II and marijuana was Schedule I, I think that might be a huge eye-opener for them. Like, let's blast that all over the commercials these days.
Right.
Like, let's show them what's out there. Because they're, like you said, they're not going out and doing the research. When someone says, this is your brain, this is your brain on drugs, they go, okay. they're not going to go any further than that. So they don't even know about cocaine being scheduled the way it is.
Right.
I don't think.
No, you're right. And I've talked to a lot of people, and a lot of people don't even know about the scheduling. And I explain it to them. And then when I do explain it to them, they go, what? Heroin? You mean marijuana is with heroin? You know, that's the first thing I hear. And I said, yeah. I said, this is why, you know, it's absurd. And it's all bureaucracy. We all know it. That's why this has not been legalized again since the 1930s. It's all because of the bureaucracy. Now, I understand you guys said that, well, I know Washington and Colorado legalized. But in Washington State, you're not allowed to grow it. So how is that's what I heard. I mean, am I wrong?
I don't know.
Strange.
We'll have to find that out.
Well, I checked it out, and I had talked to some people out there from that contact us on social networks, and they said they were pissed because they said it's legal, but yet it's not. It's like they still have laws around it, and one of them is you can't grow it outside, you can't do certain things, and I'm going, well, how is that legal?
Right.
You know, if it's legal, if something's legal, then it should be just like the tomato plant.
Right.
And if it's not like that, then forget it. I don't believe, you know, that's not legal. Legal to me is just like we can grab a Diet Coke, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Or Pepsi. Exactly. Well, and Colorado just came out, their own government, Colorado's own officials just came out with a 600-page booklet on what you can and cannot do with legal marijuana in their state. And actually, if you're blogging with us right now, along with the other Lynn folks, you can actually, someone posted the rules for legal recreational marijuana sales are announced in Colorado. So you can click that link right there and check out the rules. They've got it all just down pat. And here's what you do and here's what you don't. So it'll be interesting to read this and see what they have to say and see if they can grow.
Yeah. I'll ask you guys, who do you guys think is going to be the next state to legalize?
I'm going to go on the California thing, just the way that things are going up there. Here in Arizona, we have it on the ballot for 2014, but
I don't think
it's going to get shot down again. I don't know.
I think because of the 18 age. But I really think in the next 5-10 years, our own government's going to just roll out a program for the nation and say, all right, here's what you do.
Wanted.
Yep. We've got to get
that would be.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't done anything to the two states that legalized yet. And that could all be because of everything that's happening with the president now of Benghazi and all the other crap that's going down. Because I thought they would have reacted by now, made a statement. They said a statement was coming way back in, February? And we haven't got that statement yet.
Yeah. And that's interesting as to why they're not responding or sending a statement, because look how many states are just running. They're going. There's states left and right that are decriminalizing this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Colorado, I think, is doing it the right way. They're really doing it. I mean, it's going to be amazing, you know, out there. And the governor is totally, like, behind it. And they're celebrating the thing. And what I'm hearing from the people out in Colorado, they're a lot happier than the people in Washington State, from what I'm hearing. I could be wrong. But this is, you know, talking to the people that I talk to from all over the nation, this is what I'm getting. That Colorado's really, like, blowing it away. I mean, the heck with going to Amsterdam anymore. You just go to Colorado.
Yeah. Well, and you can plant hemp there. And apparently for Willie's birthday, a crop was planted.
It was 100 acres of hemp.
Yes.
I heard about that. So that's amazing. Hemp used to be grown here all the time. In fact, the government used to mandate you to grow hemp back during the war effort. And, you know, all this went away. And, again, I say it's all the bureaucracy.
And why did it go away? If we've known about this plant, this wonderful plant, for thousands and thousands of years that kings and queens and cultures from all over the world have used, why did it go away here?
It went away, and it all started with Aslinger, and that was all racial, you know. It started on the racial, from the racial, the big money came in, and then Big Pharma came in, and then Nixon came in, and Open Minds came in the 60s, and, you know, when Nixon took over, it was like an attack on the drugs. And then we had Reagan, who carried that on in the 80s, and it just made the pharmaceutical company. I mean, come on. I'll date myself here, but I never saw prescription medication on 1970s TV. You know, I mean, everywhere I look, there's a drug dealer on my television screen.
There sure is.
Yeah.
And on your radio, and on your internet.
And on every single street corner.
Yep,
Walgreens,
that's right. Magazines,
CBS.
any sort of communication, someone's pushing some sort of something on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say they want everybody hooked. They want kids hooked. They want us hooked. And you know, it's legal, or it's okay. And the government says, okay, this drug is okay for you to use. But yet, this drug causes maybe cancer, could probably give you a heart attack, could kill you. I mean, come on, give me a break.
All the different side effects that you get from taking every single one of those, it's like, wow, I'm just going to go with the first thing that I got, you know?
A little bit hot.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's crazy. I mean, you know, right away when they talk about legalized marijuana and these people on the far right, and they go, oh, you know, what about the kids and all that? And they use that as the trump card. Or, come on, look at your medicine cabinet, people. You know,
Do
you got regulations on your medicine cabinet? Are you afraid? You're afraid that your kid's gonna, you know, maybe take some marijuana? When you've got
taking the, you know,
a shitload of crap in your medicine cabinet that can kill them instantly.
Right.
Yeah,
this is what I was talking about earlier. You know, the kids raiding the medicine cabinets these days. It's a big, huge thing. They're taking all their parents' pills. Oh, so how many times is school killing them finding their mom's medical cannabis stash or their own personal recreational and stealing a joint?
Well,
totally different.
And marijuana does not turn people into zombies.
Exactly.
These pills
no.
change lives in such a bad way. When people come and they say, hey, I want some cannabis that's going to give me some energy and clarity during the day, but also relieve my back pain, not a problem. Is it going to make me bleed internally? No. Am I going to want to kill someone later? Well, maybe if you're going to get back, but that's not possible. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's alarming. And kids, you know, like you said before, just people. They don't do their own research, so when they see this coming at them in the media, in every venue possible, from paper to, you know, the internet, they don't think to question it. They just believe it and go about their days. And it's horrifying.
Exactly. I was with my brother Mike Cannon at this. We went to the Department of Health Regulations committee meeting because when they started to change our medical marijuana rules, we went in there and we testified. And when we got there and testified, all we saw were the parents, teachers, administration. There was the people from there. There were a whole bunch of anti-drug people there, and that's all they were talking about is, like, you know, we have to have regulations put on this now that medical is here, you know, requiring it to be locked up like guns. You know what I mean? You should have heard the way they were talking. And that's the first thing I said to the Department of Health when I sat down. I said, all these anti-drug people are talking about regulations on marijuana. Why don't they go home, look into their medicine cabinet, and see if they want to regulate that? Because that should be regulated before marijuana.
No kidding. And you send these people out. My poor mom, you know, bless her heart, with all her morphine pumps and Vicodin and Oxycontin, would get behind the wheel. And we finally and no thought of it, and her pain specialist didn't question it, and her doctor didn't question it.
Wow.
And we all questioned it, and we finally had to take her keys away. Sorry, Mom, but she couldn't. You know, and I had to go back and say, Mom, what if a kid ran out in front of your car? I had to pull the same thing she did when I was 16. What if a kid pulled out in front of her car?
One of our audience members says they're trying to make rules about something that they've never even tried.
Right, that they don't even understand.
That they don't even understand.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then look at your prescription bottle. If it says you don't drive or operate machinery under this medication, what happens if you definitely have to take this medication? It's a definite. Then you're getting in your car and you're driving, right? You got to go to work every day, don't you?
Yeah.
So, isn't it? It's almost like bars, okay? Now you hear my Boston accent. Bars, all right?
No, you can say bars. We like the bars.
You got bars, right? But we're not supposed to drink and drive. Now, is this hypocrisy? We're not supposed to drink and drive, but we have bars with a parking lot and drive up to the bar to have you drink.
Did
anybody ever think of that?
Right. And then you can buy alcohol back again at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Or on your way home at 7-Eleven. Yeah.
So, come on. I mean, the hypocrisy is ridiculous. The older I get, the more, you know, I get so, like, angry. And then I look at our government and I go, God almighty, look what this has become. It used to be a democracy. Now we got a shamocracy because that's all it's been. You know, it just keeps getting worse. They take our rights away. You know, there's so much to not only marijuana but to happening with our rights. And that's why it's affecting all these other issues.
Yeah. That's so true. I noticed that the national drug policy, and then we're talking about what they're going to add to that, the whole drug seize and things like that here down here in Tucson, because we're so close to the border. You know, they make such a big deal about it coming over, and, you know, we're getting it from them, but yet they're taking it away all here in the states that are already saying that it's going to not be a big deal, and even Obama says, you know, don't worry about what the states are doing. What about that? What's going? How do you see that?
How do I see what? With the states being able to make their own rights? You cut out again. I'm just getting a bad connection. I'm sorry.
It's all right. All right. just the way how down here in Tucson or in Arizona, we're so close to the border, and then and bringing in the drugs, and then them having the same effect here in Arizona, where they're going in and raiding people. How do, is that happening in Boston too? I mean, are you guys seeing people come over from Canada? How is it different from up there, from down here?
Over here, there's been no DEA raids or anything like that. Ever since we got our medical marijuana, there's not been any kind of DEA raids. What has been happening has been happening on a local level. Patients have been getting hassled by the state police. And basically, one patient was told, he was arrested with a legal medical, Boston medical marijuana license. He has grown six plants. He was arrested. And when he got to court, of course, it was dismissed and all that. What the police officer told him when he arrested him, he said, oh, yeah, you've got a medical marijuana law, but you can't grow here in Massachusetts. You have to go grow in Maine. So I'm like, what? So the officer got off because he wasn't educated, so to speak. So that's how he got off arresting this guy.
Wow.
But meanwhile, this guy suffered trauma for 72 hours and had his crops destroyed and, you know, had his family scared out of their wits. I mean, it shouldn't be like that. There should be retribution for that, legal retribution, to be able to civilly sue that police officer because, A, it isn't up to us to educate them about the law. It's up to them to be educated for the law they enforce.
That's great. Yeah. So important.
Well, and they don't seem to do that. They don't understand why, you know, like we've had some really great friends by the state police. So the state sets up a medical program, and then the state busts the medical patients. What the hell? Sorry.
Yeah. No, like exactly true. I mean, how can you have a medical marijuana law and not have grow? What they want to do to our law here, just getting back to our law in Massachusetts for your listeners, what they want to do here is, and what I'm pissed off about is we voted on the verbiage that we were able to grow and we would be able to buy from dispensaries. Now, as I said, they took the grow out, and all they want to do now is, let's say they put up a dispensary in 5 months, and it's 120 miles away from my home. I have to drive that 120 miles to go buy marijuana that's going to be anywhere from $300 to $400 an ounce, when you could have a caregiver or yourself grow it for like a quarter of that and not have to do the driving. And
yep.
And then they said, if you can't get to the dispensary, you have to apply for a hardship. And you got to wait a number of months for the hardship to come in. Then if they approve you, you have to be inspected and have your house open to search at any time if they allow you to grow. That's ridiculous.
Wow. Yeah,
Mike Cannon and myself are the only ones that are stepping up to the plate here in Massachusetts and saying, no, we are not going to accept this. And Massachusetts Patients Association, which was the core group to help bring in our medical marijuana law, wants us to shut our mouths. Oh, be quiet. Let's just do it this way. Then we can apply and change the laws later on. What do you mean, be quiet? We already had the verbiage in there that it said we could do it. Now you're taking it away. You want us to shut up and then have to fight it to get it back? No, we don't play that game. So
no.
As activists, we're out there and we're fighting it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, we hope that so many more people join the cause because the number of people that start pushing this. How do you get people to get out and vote and become activists for this? What do you do
over
there?
I hope by speaking on the local circuit, showing up at the events that I'm invited to, when I speak, I hope that gets people to get politically involved. Like I said, I usually don't go the political route. I got involved politically this time because it's affecting my home state here. I try to just educate, entertain, and educate. You know, my entertainment. Educate my way to get the word across. Don't usually go to, you know, political events and speak. That's what Mike Can does. And, you know, when I joined on to this, I got fired up. So I'm kind of like stepped away a little from the entertainment, and we've been really tackling this. So again, I think I got sidetracked. What was your question again? You said, how do I change this?
Oh, no, how do you get people to
react with you? Oh, we have events. You know, we'll plan, like, meeting events. We'll plan protests. I'll help Mike with that. He does a lot of the organization. We have another gentleman, Garrett Kirkland, that does a lot of the civil parts of what happens here in our state. So these activists, they're the ones who go out and round up all the people by hand. I try to round them up as I go around and I speak, and then through my social networks, if we have an event coming up, we'll broadcast it on our radio shows that we do. We'll broadcast it on our websites. And, you know, it ends up getting out there, and a lot of people do end up showing up.
Wow.
Well, good. That's really, really important. We have an organization out here that actually sends patients and members of the community to court cases and court hearings to support
the human
patients.
Solution.
The Human Solution is what they're called. And they're trying to get Arizona legal on the ballot. But they go out and they dress nice and they wear their little green ribbons with the Red Cross on them to support
show
the patients.
Support.
And they just go out and show the community that, you know, there are regular folk in the community, doctors, lawyers, nurses, real estate agents, you know, just there supporting everybody. And we just need to keep doing this. And thank you so much for doing what you're doing. It's not an easy thing. We know that. It's not easy to put your life and your family's lives and everybody you know on the line. And we really appreciate and honor what you're doing.
Yes, thanks for standing up for such an important cause. You have someone to look up to.
Thank you so much. Hey, man, you know, hearing those type of comments just, you know, just fuels me more to keep up doing it. You know, I actually stepped out of marijuana for about 2 weeks to help a friend, this Garrett Kirkland guy I told you about that does the other stuff on the civil rights issue. Somebody had got arrested here, an 18-year-old, for writing rap lyrics. And I'll send you the video. I'll send you both videos. The first video we did when he was arrested, and then the aftermath. And you can check it out. It's pretty interesting, you know, the way our country's becoming. And I think that's why, you know, we need to fight more. We need to step up to the plate more, get educated more, not listen to just our daily news. Listen to the left, listen to the right, listen to the middle, and then make your own decision. But you will make the right decision, because there's a lot of information out there to debunk a lot of the stuff that we've been told for so many years, the lies.
This is true.
I urge everybody. Just go out there and look.
That's right. Get involved. Well, thank you so much for sticking with us and waking up so early. We hope you got some stuff done.
No problem. I was a little rusty at the beginning of the show, but you got me going, so I hope I provided a good show for you.
Oh, it was awesome, and we look forward. We'll have you on
again.
Yeah,
have you on again.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, and I hope you can I just put a little plug in for my site again. We have a Conicultural Radio Network, which is kopproductions.com. That's where all our radio shows are, not just about marijuana. Cover all kinds of different things over there at kopproductions.com. And then my own website, thekingofpot.com, where you can find all my videos and my old radio shows from way, way back when I was on regular radio. And, you know, thanks again for having me on.
Oh,
thank you
King
of Pot.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. Happy July 4th.
You
thank
too.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, awesome guy.
Yeah, wow, that was.
I love hearing when people have a lot of heart behind what they do.
He's been doing it for a
long
time. Yeah.
And his mom and what he fights for.
It's too bad, you know. Well, I'm glad she had her moments of, you know, relaxation. I can't imagine locking the door, you know, standing and not being able to move and not even know it.
Yeah.
That's just debilitating. Wow. Well, check out thekingofpot.com, kopproductions.com. Very interesting.
He's into a lot of media,
videos,
like he did
radio,
things.
Past radio shows. Yeah, lots of media. And he
productions
does.
And does really cool parties and stuff like that, with the whole emphasis behind the law and changing it and getting other. I think he's really acquires to the young crowd, I think, a different population of people who are into cannabis and like that kind of stuff and know that there's a different kind of way of seeing it. So.
Well, it sounds like he's reaching everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that you can get on, I think he's got a Twitter account, and you can get on a mailing list, and he'll email you what's going on, videos that are and are not related to cannabis, but are very important nonetheless. Wow, that was, we've got 10 minutes left, and so much to do. There is a, we were going to do a little news blurb with the director's blog, but we mentioned before that 29 dispensaries now in Arizona. Good job, guys. We know, and Gal, we worked very, very, very hard for years and years, actually, to make this happen. I don't think people understand what these dispensary owners and future owners have done to prepare for this, and the painstaking hours and years and financial challenges they've been through, but 29 of them, that's awesome. So what, we have like 100 left to go, 95 left? Let's do it. Let's bust them out all over the state. But the if you are on, if you go to azdhs.gov, you can get yourself on the Medical Marijuana Director's Blog email, and they'll send you updates monthly as to the dispensaries and different processes, what's going on.
What's going on in Arizona.
And I looked at this, it's like a little six-page update on what's been happening, and there's a question in here that everybody asked it. In fact, this is probably the reason that most people don't want to get their cards. And the question says, can I be fired from my job for using marijuana? And their answer is, the Arizona Department of Health Services cannot give legal advice. But the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act says that unless a failure to do so would cause an employer to lose a monetary or licensing-related benefit, under federal law regulations, an employee cannot be fired for being a medical marijuana patient. It also says an employer cannot punish an employee for having a positive drug test for the underlying components. The statute doesn't protect any employee that uses, possesses, or is impaired while at work. You may want to talk to an attorney if you have legal questions or you feel you were treated unfairly at work. So
interesting.
There.
That's great.
Yeah, I know.
If they lose a monetary, what did you say?
If they lose anything of monetary
right.
or licensing related benefit.
So anything with
under
deals
federal
with insurance
law
or
yeah.
things like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So sure. Oh boy, one of these days we won't have to ask questions like, can I get life insurance if I'm a medical marijuana patient? I was just reading that article.
Ooh, that would have been a good one.
Yeah, and the short answer is yes, you can, but you have to be very careful about how you disclose of that. So anyway, we now have 7 minutes left because I'm blabbing here. So should we read a little empathy? That's fun. Let's read empathy. Let's
read
do a little fun thing. We're so serious for me. But the director's blog, azdhs.gov, they have their own medical marijuana section, and then you can just get right on in there to the director's blog. Oh, boy, where are we? Oh, we got the gays on the other side? Look at that.
No.
Just a rainbow flag.
It's a rainbow flag. It's just like an everybody flag. Actually, dispensary.
Look at that. It's one of the 29 Arizona dispensaries. All right, Hempathy, our favorite
so
book.
So why and why not?
Of and, cannabis use.
And everyone pretty much do it. Do you need to move any?
Sure.
It
says, Hempathy, food for thought, is an attempt to show at a glance the illogical distinction between what is socially and legally accepted, the why, and what is forbidden, the why not. Scientists and doctors are making wonderful discoveries about how cannabis exerts its beneficial effects. We need to publicize their findings in an unbiased way to the widest possible audience. We need to stop the obstruction of research and the criminalization of a useful plant. All right. So, this is yucky. So on the why part of things, you've got why, the right to bear arms. So you've got a picture of a guy in a gun shop. He looks really whacked out. He's got pistols on both hips. He's got an AK-47 in his hand, and the guy behind the counter is just drooling because he's going to sell this thing. They've got 50% off the guns, and they just don't look like good people. It doesn't look like they're going to go out and use that in a friendly way. Of course, what is a friendly way to use a gun? I'm not so sure.
They look like the couple from California.
from California.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we won't go with that. So in the U.S. in 2006, more than 30,000 people were killed by guns. And that was in 2006, including almost 17,000 suicides, 18,000 homicides, 700 accidents, and 400 fatal shootings by police. The number of non-fatal injuries exceeded over 200,000. Annual domestic commercial firearm industry sales are estimated at more than $4.1 billion, which includes $1.2 billion for handguns, $1.35 billion for long guns, $1.55 billion for ammunition. USA gun owners bought over 14 million guns in 2009, more than 21 of the world's standing armies combined. That's just the civilian spot. Holy cow. That's
a lot.
Devastating.
It seems like America just wants to give everything to kill us, like guns, just all access to guns, bad food, pharmaceuticals.
Yep. Well, hey, there's a thought. Wow, that's a show we'll have to start.
Well, let's go.
A new show. All right.
A new show.
Why not? And here's just a wonderful opposite of that.
Why not? The right to medical cannabis.
Describe that beautiful
scene. This beautiful little scene is, I guess, a little dispensary of some sort.
Oh, look, there's a little grandma there with her cane.
Really just an open experience. It doesn't look too sterile.
No.
They've guys got a little peace sign in the
friendly,
back. Friendly,
yeah.
Nice.
Welcoming.
They've got a little area where they have new seedlings where you can, and there's a little grandma out there peeing out hers. Two guys, there's one guy buying a nice plant, and then there's a gentleman looking at new strains that all the stuff that's in at this time. And the guy
and
looks really
happy
and nice.
Calm and relaxed.
Top seed quality, so you can come in there and buy your own seeds, or you can go to the store and buy your own medicine. So,
excellent.
The right to medical cannabis. Cannabis was listed in the United States Pharmacopoeia from 1850 until 1942 and was prescribed for various conditions, including labor pains, nausea, and rheumatism. Nearly all medicines have potentially lethal effects, but not marijuana. There's no documentation in extensive medical literature of a confirmed cannabis-induced fatality. This is a remarkable statement. The record on medical encompasses 5,000 years of human experience. It's the longest used medication in human history.
5,000 years.
5,000 years.
Wow.
They're showing that there's 5,000 years of data on this plant. And then they keep on saying there's no data on this plant.
Pretty lame.
I think they're liars.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. We can call it. We'll call them out on it. What's our historical timeline say, speaking of 5,000 years?
I like how we usually, Himpathy knows exactly what we're talking about and has a great little why not for us at the end.
It sure does.
I'm going to let you do that one.
Last week was 200 BC. Now we're on 1 AD. Ancient Chinese text recommends marijuana for more than 100 ailments. In a compendium of drug recipes compiled in 1 AD, Pen Cao Qing, based on traditions from the time of Shen Nung, marijuana is depicted as an ideogram, pictorial symbol of plants running in a shed. This ancient text recommends marijuana for more than 100 ailments, including gout, rheumatism, malaria, and absent-mindedness. And there's a little picture here of it looks like a little enclosure, and there's some plants hanging. So that's their drying of the marijuana, the curing of the marijuana. Wow. Well, that's 1 AD. Woo! All right, yeah. That's some good news.
That is awesome.
So we'll wrap the show up real quick. A couple seconds left here. So now at Tumbleweeds Health Center through July, $50 Fridays. Get your memberships for $50 Fridays on Fridays. And we have some new Go Pipes, handcrafted wooden cigar-shaped pipes. They are awesome, smooth. They're one-hitters, but they're not. They're like 10-hitters. we've got some Holy Smokes organic vaporizing tonics to create peace and ease in your life. Mm-hmm. We had a demonstration last Saturday. We will have one, I believe, at the end of the month on the 27th of this month. We've got some new local artist glass pipes and artwork and more, so come check it out. This month's classes at Tumbleweed. This Saturday is Keith's class. Come and make some Keith and take some samples. Ow! July 13th, we relax with the day of Ganja Game Day. We're going to think it's raining that day, so I think it is. July 20th, we're going to have growing and question and answers. Come ask an expert anything you want about growing. And 27th, Holy Smokes Demonstration. AZ for Normal, second Saturday of the month meeting, which is next week. Will be held at Ward 6, 3202 East 1st Street. And we have a very special guest coming into Tucson and to Tumbleweed Health Center, Mr. Doug Fine will be live. Yes. Doug will be on air, we'd say Wednesday, July 17th, and he will be at Tumbleweed Health Center, July 18th, for an actual live book screening. Come give Doug a hug. It's going to be awesome. Give Doug a hug. He loves hugs. Doug loves hugs. There you go. This Thursday, tomorrow, for Meducation, for the 4th of July, we will be open from 5 to 8. Yes, folks, we will be there, 5 to 8. And if no one shows up between 7 and 7:30, we're going to close. I'm just telling you that now because we want to go see some shooting stars out there. We are closed for certifications tomorrow, but we will be open for Meducation, 5 to 8. All right. What else? We moved 5315 East Broadway, if you haven't found that out yet. Over by the big purple pot and some three huge palm trees. What else, kid?
I will be away next
look
week.
In your face. What?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I'll be up in Humboldt County.
Oh, well, we know what you'll be doing.
I'm going to call down. I am going to call down. I think we'll be in the Redwoods.
Oh,
that
nice.
Wednesday morning when...
Beautiful. Okay.
We'll
see. Maybe get some reception.
Yeah. That's where I'm thinking.
Hug a tree for us.
I'm
going to
hug a big...
You have eight friends at least.
I do.
Well, we would love to thank the King of Pop for joining us.
Yes, thank you for your story and sharing
awesome.
For this morning.
And we would also like to thank Blog Talk Radio for our radio shows. Growers House, AC Med Test,
Studio C,
Survival Guide, Tumbleweed Health Center, and Studio C for allowing us to use their beautiful studio every Wednesday morning. Stay tuned for more awesome shows. Get certified, get recertified, $99, mm-hmm. and THC Tumbleweeds will beat any price in town. And remember,
be smart, be safe, and educate.
Woo woo! And we thank you for the show.
Puff, 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 puff.